Welcome to the Fishers of Men, a missionary Baptist ministry featuring Brother Mike Bronner of Union Camp Missionary Baptist Church. If you would like to contact Brother Mike Bronner, his mailing address is P.O. Box 1523, Petersburg, Alaska 99833, or you can reach him at KRSA at area code 907-772-3891. It's time now for the Fishers of Men on KRSA.
And I'm told I'll live for A. My soul will fly over Chile, Jordan, over Jordan. On wings of love, I'll fly away. Not a moment to lose.
There's nothing to do but make up your mind.
Take a moment and choose God's love divine. From the moment you're saved,
how happy you'll be.
Take a moment and live eternally. Wherever I go, I'm glad to say, my soul will fly over Chile, Jordan, over Jordan. On wings of love, I'll fly away. Not a moment to lose.
There's nothing to do but make up your mind.
Take a moment and choose God's love divine. From the moment you're saved,
how happy you'll be.
Take a moment and live eternally. Savior will come for me someday. My soul will fly over Chile, Jordan, over Jordan. On wings of love, I'll fly away. Not a moment to lose.
There's nothing to do but make up your mind.
Take a moment and choose God's love divine.
From the moment you're saved, how happy you'll be.
Take a moment and live eternally.
Take a moment and live eternally.
For heaven is free. How happy you'll be when heaven you see.
Hello, this is Mike Bronner from the Union Camp Missionary Baptist Church. We're thankful to be able to be back to the radio station once again today, and thankful to have what we consider another God-given opportunity that we might come this way and try to bring a message from the Word of God. I do sincerely appreciate this opportunity, thankful for those who make it possible. Mostly we thank the good Lord for helping us to prepare, letting us come this way, granting us just the health and the means that we can come forward and take part in a work that we consider is the work of God. And we know why we came this way. We felt led of the Lord. And truly with the blessings which we've received in doing this work, it's occasions when that we can look back and just be thankful again to just have a small part in such a great work. I think a lot of times about what the Apostle Paul He said as he was writing to the Corinthians, speaking that he had sown, he said Apollos had watered, but God gave the increase. And from that then, he said his conclusion was, so it's neither he that has sown nor he that has watered, but God that's important in the matter. And we're just laborers trying to follow after the Lord and thankful to just have a part in the work. So glad to be here today, thankful for this opportunity. Appreciate everyone who's tuned in. Appreciate those who've let us know that they're listening, that they're praying for us. We ask you to continue to pray for the work. We desire to be such the Lord could use in all things. So indeed do pray for the work, that the things that go forth would be helpful for all who tune in, all who listen. We have tried to work and labor to put a website together that's associated with this broadcast. I'd like to try to provide things that if you're not able to come out and be present where we're at, I'd like for you still to be able to have access to the information, study materials, and previous broadcasts. We made all that available on a website. The website's title is FisherOfMenBaptistic.com. That's Fisher, one Fisher, of Men, Baptistic, as in Baptist.com. And that's the only thing, and that's that one separation point, that one dot. And there you can find information about myself and about the work. And you can find articles and materials which have been written. And all of that is absolutely free. If you'd like to take and study, consider any of that, I ask you to prayerfully consider it. And if there's anything that's beneficial received from it, you be careful to thank the Lord for that, because it's truly a hit. That work is work that has been done. It's trying to follow after the Lord. So he's the one who deserves the thanks. We want to go to the Lord in prayer. And then after we pray, we'll try to take up a thought that's on our heart. And I'd like to invite you to pray with us. So if it's to where you can, like to join with us, let us pray. Holy and wise Heavenly Father, we're thankful again for your rich many blessings that you so richly bestowed upon us through thy Son, Christ Jesus. We ask you, Father, to forgive us again our sins. Help us, Lord, we'd be such as you could use in all good things. We ask you, Lord, to direct us and guide us, knowing that you know what direction needs to be taken. Help us, Lord, to follow after thee. We pray, Father, today that you'd remember the many sad and needy circumstances. Help those who are not well. Remember the afflicted. Remember those, Father, who press in long life's journey and are troubled. We pray for their comfort. Pray mainly for the lost, knowing those who that know thee not nor the free pardon of sin, that indeed they have the worst condition of all. We pray they might find a trouble down in their very soul, and in that troubled and convicted state, they'd see the offering of thee, our God, on the cross of Calvary, to put all their trust therein to find soul salvation. We pray that you'd ever help us to be such that testimony would be convincing, persuasive, men and women to look toward God for soul salvation. And we pray, Lord, that you'd bless those who have been born again and guide us, Lord, to unite into the house of God to labor therein, knowing, Father, that the head of the church is ever there to strengthen us and guide us. Pray for our country, O God, that you'd help it. Grant her, Lord, to have leaders who do those things good and pleasing in your sight. Remember our soldiers on foreign soil. Help them who are standing in harm's way, that we might enjoy freedom and safety. We pray for their protection and ask you, Lord, to look over them. Help them, Lord, that they'd be reunited with their loved ones. Help us, Lord, to ever be such that good and right in your sight, the Lord might be able to do the work of God and bring forth those things you see that needs to be brought forth. Grant us wisdom, understanding, yea, the many things that you see we stand in need of, and though we fail to ask, O God, fail not to grant, for we seek all blessings and favors in the name of Christ Jesus. For his name's sake we do pray. Amen. We have tried to prayerfully consider what we should try to address at this time, and we do have some thoughts on our heart we want to give our attention to. Well, as any who have been studying along with us and tuning in to the broadcast know, we've been taking up points related to what's called Articles of Faith. And by Articles of Faith, we're talking about general beliefs which that are common to Bible students and those who have considered the Word of God, allowing Scriptures to teach what Scriptures teach. and willing to take God for His Word in the Bible, we find some very basics which are found in the Scriptures and find these basics to teach certain principles. At this time, we want to take up the 14th article out of these 18 articles of faith. And this 14th article is of baptism and the Lord's Supper. We want to give our attention tonight to the first part of this relating to baptism. And I want to read what this article says relating to baptism, and then we'll try to read some scriptures out of the third chapter of the book of Matthew. But reading this first part of this article relating to baptism, the article says, "We believe that Christian baptism is the immersion in water of a believer into the name of the Father and the Son and Holy Ghost to show forth in a solemn and beautiful emblem our faith in the crucified, buried, and risen Savior with its effect in our death to sin and resurrection to a new life." We'll read some scriptures which give us this basis of thought and find that where the Bible teaches these points. So in order to touch on these points, we'll begin reading in Matthew chapter 3. Here we're reading of the occasion of John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness. And as he's preaching and baptizing, we find that the Lord Jesus Christ came to his baptism. Beginning then with the 13th verse of the third chapter of Matthew, we find it written, "Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." We'll stop reading here. This giving us a reading lesson from Matthew chapter 3, read from verse 13, down through the end of the chapter being the 17th verse. In this verses of Scripture, we find that we find many examples presented to us about baptism. And now we just want to touch on a couple of them before we get into what this article of faith says. But I notice first off that Jesus indeed came to where John was at, and John was baptizing. I know when that the Lord walked up to John, John must have had a very humbling experience, realizing that the Savior of the world was coming to him and to receive something of him. John was a man who was destined to one day die. And we do read of his death in the New Testament. And here comes the Son of God, who has the power of life and death in his own hands, the very Creator. And as he looks up and he sees his own God coming to him, the man God, Jesus Christ, the God incarnate, coming to him to be baptized of him, must have been humbling. And when John expressed this, I find that Jesus said, "Suffer it to be so." In other words, endure this and still do it. He says, "For thus." And I notice when he uses that statement, "for thus," he's calling all the world's attention to this act that's about to occur. For thus, in other words, in this manner, here, what we do now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Now notice the Lord said, this is not how we're going to get righteousness started. He didn't say this is how that we're going to begin righteousness for mankind. He said we're going to fulfill it here. This is how that we're going to fulfill righteousness. I don't think anyone who is even somewhat familiar with the Scriptures, with the Bible, would suggest that Jesus Christ was a sinner at any point. Much less when he came to this baptism. Christ wasn't in need of righteousness, while he is the righteous one. It is by grace through faith that we receive of His righteousness. So righteous is Christ Jesus. So baptism wasn't to make Him a righteous man. Christ was already righteous. So here we have a righteous person coming to be baptized. I find that would be the parallel, to be a parallel of that, that baptism is meant for those who are already children of God. I don't think anyone would suggest that Christ is not the Son of God. Moreover, when Jesus was baptized, we find that God was pleased. There's other points we could see in this, but we'll notice in the last verse of this reading lesson, for sake of time, we find that there's a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." So baptism pleases God the Father. So a very important subject, the subject of baptism, how that it pleases God, how that it is not to make one a child of God, but it's for those who are already children of God. And I think that also that Christ Jesus has set this pattern for us. It's to follow after His example, children of God should be baptized. And I would even go further in more details as to say that the Spirit of God will lead a child of God to baptism. I don't think just anything that's called baptism is baptism. I think the Bible prescribes specifically what baptism is. And my friend, without that, you can be dunked in water all your life and never be baptized. And that would be something that you need to pray over and make sure where you stand in this matter with the Lord. So let's read out of Acts chapter 8, and we'll take up the first part of this article, where it says, "We believe that Christian baptism is the immersion in water of a believer." We find an example in Acts chapter 8. In Acts chapter 8, verse 36, we'll start reading. The scripture says here, this is sometimes referred to as Philip and the eunuch, the Ethiopian eunuch here in this occasion. What happened? We'll read a part of this where it says, "And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" Important question. What condition do we need to be in before we can properly baptized? And Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And he commanded the chariot to stand still. They went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. I notice that the scripture says that these two men went down into the water. And as they entered into that water, that's where Philip conducted or carried out the act of baptism for this eunuch. But what was the condition? The examination, if you will, was given. The examination was this. What is it that you believe on? Where's your heart in this matter? Are you already a child of God? Well, if not, then you're not the proper candidate for baptism. I notice another example out of John chapter 3. John chapter 3, beginning in verse 22, Scripture says, "After these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea, and there he tarried with them and baptized. And John also was baptizing in Enon near to Salem, because there was much water there. They came and were baptized." And notice how that baptism's taking place where there's lots of water. You need water to be able to immerse someone or bury them in water. Believers are the ones who are to be buried in baptism. Think about this verse of Scripture also, John chapter 4. Scripture says, "When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples." I find then that the Lord carries out his baptizing through his disciples. And I notice this, he says that he had made disciples and then baptized them. I'll read the scripture again. "When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized disciples." Jesus was making disciples, then they were baptized. So without being a believer, without being a child of God, having an experience of soul salvation, then there's not the proper candidate for baptism. You're not prepared. You're not ready. Baptism's not to make a child of God, but it's for the children of God. I'll read one more example, this being out of the book of Acts chapter 18. Acts chapter 18, verse 8. Notice one more point of Scripture giving us these very facts again. Speaking of a man named Crispus, who was a chief ruler in a synagogue. It says, "And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house. And many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized." Being believers first is all important for the candidate who is to be baptized. So as we said, the article teaches, we believe that Christian baptism is the immersion in water of a believer. We'll move on then to the next part of this article that says that they're baptized into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. I would like to quote Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. I notice here the Scripture says this: "The Lord has said that all power in heaven and earth is given to him." He turns to his disciples and says, "Go ye, therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." Baptizing them, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever he had commanded, and he says, "And lo, I'm with you always." I notice the emphasis, just to emphasize the first part of that, or the second part of it, where it says to teach all nations. That first phrase, "Go ye, therefore, and teach all nations." That phrase means, and disciple the nations, make them disciples. In other words, they must be believers. Make them disciples. It says baptizing them, who? Those who've been made disciples. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Teaching them to observe all things, whatsoever I've commanded. So I notice that baptism's carried out in that manner. Think about Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10, the household of Cornelius. These men and women, they had been saved. Notice that as they'd been saved and the Spirit bore witness of their spiritual condition, as they spake there glorifying God, we find the Apostle Peter spoke up. And he said, "Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Baptize these in the name of the Lord. There's the authority of the Lord. I cited that first when I quoted from Matthew 28, when he said to the church there, "Go and teach and baptize." Well, they are the ones who are authorized to perform that baptism. So we find that it is indeed baptism that's conducted in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost. But what else does the Scripture teach? It also teaches that in baptism we're showing forth in a solemn and beautiful emblem our faith in the crucified, buried, and risen Savior, with its effect of in our death to sin and resurrection to a new life. I'd like to read, and notice as I do read, that these verses, these references point out that baptism is indeed a burial in water. Notice first from Romans chapter 6, verse 4, says, "Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." We're buried, putting off the old man as a child of God. We have that inside part that's been redeemed, washed in the blood through faith. Faith in that which Christ did for us to pay sin's debt. So, through faith, having the inside cleaned up, then burying the old outward man to be raised to walk in newness of life. We bury it in the watery grave of baptism. We think about Colossians 2. We also find verse 12 says, "Buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him, through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead." How are we buried? Buried with him, it says, in baptism. So, like this says, that we're showing forth in a solemn and beautiful emblem our faith in the crucified, buried, and risen Savior. What's its effect? Our death to sin. Not that we never sin anymore. God forbid that anybody should believe that they get to the point where they're sinlessly perfect. But rather, we're putting off the old man, burying it in Christ. that through the very mortifying power of the Spirit of God, we might be able, through the help of God, through the grace of Christ Jesus, come believing boldly into the throne of grace to find mercy and grace to help us in time of need. Think again about another teaching relating to this very same point over in 1 Peter. Now in 1 Peter and in chapter 3, the Scripture here giving us an example that tells us that the flesh is not totally put away, but we will bear this even to the day of our death. But it's the answer. It's a condition of a conscience. We find in 1 Peter 3 and 20 says, "Which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a-preparing, were in view, that is, eight souls." This is talking about the ark. There were eight souls in the ark that Noah built, and wherein eight souls were saved by water. Scripture says, "Further, the like figure, whereunto even baptism, doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God." How? By the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's not that we're putting away filth in baptism. It's not that we are taking sin off of us in baptism. But it's the answer of a good conscience, a conscience that's already been made good through the saving grace of God in Christ Jesus. So we believe in this ordinance of baptism, believe it's a church ordinance, an ordinance whereby a child of God is brought into the church, that it's very beautiful. It teaches many things, many important things for the child of God, and brings us into that wonderful relationship of church fellowship. So, appreciate your attention. Hope something's been brought out, it's been helpful. If so, be careful to thank the Lord for that. And if you'd like to study this in more depth, be certain to go to the website and check out the Articles of Faith. That Article 13 is on the church and 14 is on this ordinance of baptism. Thank you again. May God richly bless you and yours.
You have been listening to The Fishers of Men, a missionary Baptist ministry featuring Brother Mike Bronner of Union Camp Missionary Baptist Church. You can contact Brother Bronner at area code 907-772-3891, or you can reach him by mail at P.O. Box 1523, Petersburg, Alaska, 99833. Thank you for listening to The Fishers of Men on KRSA.